Welcome back to the Roundtable on a Wednesday morning, 12 minutes after 9 o'clock. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. We begin our hour, begin our show with a panel. We call it the Roundtable Panel. WAMC's Alan Shartok is here today. Good morning, Alan.
And good morning, Raymond. Always great to see you. I see you out there monitoring the street, making sure we're all safe here.
Watching out for lone wolf attacks, I am. Political consultant Libby Post is here. Hi, Libby.
Hi, Ray.
Nice to have you here.
And nice to be here.
University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo. Good morning, Rosemary.
Good morning.
You've been in the States for, a whole month now. It's a new record. Yeah. The email address here is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org, if you want to weigh in on what we are chatting about. It. Before we get started, unscripted, Alan.
Yeah,
I want to mention to you that I said this to you the other day. I said to you on Monday, 2 weeks of the fund drive, and you had a rather, a rude response. But you and I are ready for the fund drive on October 6th, are we not?
We are. We're all part of this team together. We love each other here, and we love you out there. And we know, and I'm depending on you. And you know, I don't know how to make it sound as desperate as it really is. Because if we don't come up with in the next week, with $100,000, we're not going to get this $25,000 and another $5,000. And believe me, it was made clear to us, another $5,000 from our friend who says, you know, you don't get this money unless you make the $25,000. Everybody, we're all in this together. We got to change that control room and bring it up into at least the 20th century.
Yeah, that's a good start. You're, by the way, talking about the lockbox at WAMC.org.
I am.
And if we hit that 300 and then get the 30 more, we start the fund drive, you and I sitting down with $330,000. That's a good start.
Who do you think is in worse shape when we sit down to do that?
Right, what do you mean, mentally or physically?
Well, no. I mean, we're sitting right across from each other on that little table.
Yeah.
Who's got a worse thing to look at, me or you? In other words,
you mean face-wise?
Yeah. Or looking at my face or me looking at his face?
Oh, I have to work with the both of you.
Okay.
You don't want to get into that?
I'll tell you what, let's get into some more substantive matters here. It's a roundtable at WAMC.org if you want to complain. We'll start out here on the program.
Please do.
A Pentagon spokesman says the U.S. has carried out two airstrikes today on Islamic State Group staging area in eastern Syria. Rear Admiral John Kirby says the U.S. military was aiming for an area used by the militants to move equipment across the border into Iraq. He told CNN that the U.S. also struck targets in Iraq near the Kurdish city of Erbil and the capital Baghdad today. And, President Obama, will be speaking at the U.N. today, a little different than what he spoke about yesterday, a 10 a.m. speech under very high security in New York, a striking shift expected. The president will focus on defeating Islamic State militants during his address to the General Assembly. He'll be a commander-in-chief overseeing a war against militants in two Middle Eastern nations, despite a presidency mostly focused on ending conflicts in the region. Things have changed. Rosemary.
Rosemary, what? Would you like me to respond to?
I'd like you to tell me how things have unraveled for a president who wanted to end all these wars in a truly altruistic fashion.
It's exactly true. I've been reading the paper and watching television all last night thinking about what a horrible job being president. I mean, there's multitasking and then there is this. So he is now focused on what? I mean, there's two big things, climate change policy and Syria. Both of those should be all time consuming. And in addition, we've forgotten about immigration. When was the last time we talked about that? Ukraine is still a mess. Russia is winning in Ukraine. We're not dealing with that. All these other issues. How about Ferguson? And yet he is like bifurcated between these two huge efforts. It's astounding. It's really hard even to keep track of it, much less to be doing it.
So do you think he's doing the right thing? You think we're doing the right thing in our bombing campaign?
Boy, you know, I don't see an alternative, so I cannot be screaming at what a stupid policy it is. But it's so dangerous, and it's so, we're being sucked into a huge mess. Messy conflict. And I have the feeling, I have the impression that that's exactly what the jihadis want of us, to get us involved.
Libby?
You know, I've been watching the Roosevelts as many other people have.
I watched the whole thing.
On PBS. I've got 1.5 episodes left.
All right, no spoilers.
Yeah, not okay. Not to worry.
Although I think we know how it turns out.
Yeah, we do.
We win the war.
Yeah, we do win that war. You know, but
not while he's alive.
There's so many parallels to be to be made between what he faced with the threat of Hitler in Europe and this nonsensical power-mongering, we're going to kill a group of people, we're going to kill whoever gets in our way perspective, and what's going on now. And what are we going to do? Not fight back and let another 9/11 happen? And I'm not, you know, I'm not the warmongering type, but, you know, it's about standing up for democracy, standing up for what we believe in as a country, and protecting us. Because these people will find a way to come back. I mean, the stories this morning about that other group, I can't remember name. Yeah. You know,
Corazon.
The Corazon, you know, figuring out how to put bombs in toothpaste tubes and more underwear. You know, there is a threat here. And if this is like the slipperiest slope we can go down. But what happens if we stay on top of the hill? There's not going to be anything left for us to look down upon.
Well, it remains to be seen whether the strikes in western Syria on Khorasan's staging areas, stronghold, will in fact stop what was already in gear.
Right.
There are no specific threats against New York City, but police there have stepped up security in Times Square, the city's subways, and elsewhere. NYPD's top counterterrorism official says investigators have not authenticated a recent internet posting purported from the Islamic State group urging lone wolf terrorist attacks at Times Square and other sites. But that now is the creeping fear on this side of the pond.
And
lone wolf, and you hear it everywhere, over and over.
There's no overlooking the fact that tonight Jews around the world start Rosh Hashanah. The high holidays are starting. You want to take out a group of Jews? This is the time to do it. I mean, as bizarre and maybe paranoid as that sounds.
No, it isn't. It's like 9/11.
Right.
It's always a danger spot.
We are on high alert. The security stuff that we're dealing with at our individual synagogues is much greater than it's ever been. And, you know, all we want to do is go pray, ask God for a good year. You know? And these are the kinds of things that we have to deal with, and it's the perfect time.
Okay, think about termites, right? Exterminators yes. say you have a bug in your house. It's going to eat your house. You can't really see it. We can't really show it to you, but trust us, if you don't pay for a tent and a lot of expensive treatment, your house is going to be gone. Huge threat, unseen. That's what we... Khorasan, where did they come from?
Right.
ISIS, we never heard of them a month ago. So I don't know what's going on, and I hate trying to say, okay, here's what we should do based on the very incomplete information we have.
But Alan, the name game can be confusing. We had Malcolm Nance on these airwaves several times.
Who
said ISIS is Al-Qaeda in Iraq, who we've been fighting for years. Khorasan is an offshoot of Iraq. He didn't say about Khorasan, but
no.
But they're also an offshoot of Iraq. So does the name really matter?
Do our intelligence people know? Just tell me that. Yeah. Our intelligence has a horrible reputation so just tell me that they really have a handle on it. I'd be happy with that for a start.
Well, again, democracy, people knowing what's happening, them telling us. Somehow, we get told the morning of, we just took out this other group, which has been a long, long threat, and then they tell us, you know, this was somebody who Obama really, I'm so sorry, Osama really, understood and liked.
Best friends with the guy who runs it,
and all the rest of it. So how can we possibly act politically if we don't know what the issues are? Ray, I just want you to know that William wrote in.
Oh, wrote in?
Yeah, he said, poor Ray.
Why?
Well, because I asked earlier who would have a worse thing.
Oh,
whose punim?
Right.
Whose punim is worse to look at?
But on the domestic front, how can you really completely guard against lone wolf attacks, so-called lone wolf? You can't. We had one at Fort Hood.
Well, wait a second now. There's one thing about somebody going, loony, which is what happened in that case. But we're not talking about what's remarkable to me, and Obama said so the other day. He said the idea that we've kept anybody from doing real damage in New York City or getting a bomb into New York City is really an astounding thing. You know, so far, we've done pretty well in terms of keeping that down.
The last one was the Boston Marathon.
I think our government is spreading a form of, I'm sure they don't intend this, so please hold your letters, but it's terrorism. It's like, be afraid, you know, it could be right in Times Square, it could be right. in Albany, Central Avenue.
We're instilling fear.
Yeah, so trust us, believe us, I don't like that. Okay. I would like more information.
And of course, we would love you to respond to what Rosemary says. Mm-hmm. The email address is roundtable@wamc.org, roundtable@wamc.org. Keep them brief. Alan will read them if the words are not too long and the paragraphs are relatively concise.
Exactly.
Let's take a break, Hopper. We'll be back.
Support for WAMC comes from Woodstock School of Art. With year-round classes and workshops for all levels and scholarship programs for area high school students and adults, woodstockschoolofart.org. Cafe Capriccio, Chef Jim Rua, working to preserve and maintain the traditions of Italian cuisine and hospitality since 1982 on Grand Street in Albany, New York, cafecapriccio.com. Kenco Work and Play Outfitters, Kingston, now taking reservations for the newly opened Kenco's Interactive Archery Range inside the expanded Big Green Building on Route 28, atkenco.com. And Mohonk Preserve, New Paltz, presenting the Falls Point Trail Challenge, a 10-mile run to benefit the Mohonk Preserve, Sunday at 8 a.m., mohonkpreserve.org for pre-registration.
Of course, we're listening to Grace Kelly this morning here as bumper music on the roundtable. Dave Hopper just let us know. It's not the Grace Kelly we remember.
But not blonde and beautiful.
Since her death, she's obviously branched out into some new forms of the... It's the roundtable on WAMC. 9:24 is the time. Libby Post is here. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok, and Alan!
Sir.
Email.
Oh, yeah. Well, yes, there is some email, if I can read it.
Okay. If you need help, Rosemary's right next to you.
Okay. Hey there, Alan. Just an FY... No, that's something else.
Okay.
All right. Heads will roll. Apropos of yesterday's discussion of the Secret Service's failure at the White House, considering the actions of ISIS, could we stop using the phrase, heads will roll? I know Rosemary will scoff, but I think some listeners will agree.
I was just rolling my eyes. You called that
just so
right.
Yes, there's a certain amount of scoffing going on.
Well, wait now.
Okay,
we'll
and that's, I believe, it for so far.
Okay.
I got a 100-page list of from Rob Astorino, who's running against Cuomo.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he 100 wants
100-page list
know,
of what?
It's a 100-page list of stuff about Governor Cuomo takes $2.7 million in donations, gives $7.2 billion back in state contracts. That's what Astorino is claiming.
Okay.
Now. And since I'm interviewing Astorino this afternoon for the Capital Connection, maybe I'll just ask about some of this stuff.
You can ask him about that. Yeah, you know, we get a lot of emails. So many. And I don't know if they're legitimately from, let's say, Nancy Pelosi's camp, but they always have this dire subject heading. We're failing. It'll never be the same. Things like that. Why? What is with the psychology of this now?
I'll tell you why. Because it works.
It's to get people to open the mail.
Because it works. And you say, because we Americans, particularly those in particular camps, respond to that stuff. So if somebody says, Nancy Pelosi is at it again. Somebody who hates Nancy Pelosi is going to give you money. And we know that. They test this stuff. They pretest it.
But no. This is a different philosophy. And again, I don't open them because it looks to me like spam. But it'll be from a lawmaker saying things are, you know, we're in trouble.
Again, it's about money. They're trying to raise money that way, and it works.
Yeah.
So they say, I'm trying to run for the United States Senate from the state of South Dakota. Why do I care? So they're going to say, and they're going to send it to millions of people across America, and believe me, they're going to get money back.
And the other part of this is that that's how you get them to open the mail. You know, think of that. Think when you get direct mail at home from a charity.
And this coming from our political expert who teaches people about this.
And you get, and the envelope has something compelling on the cover. Okay, you know what they're going to do. They're asking you for money. But there's this compelling picture and a compelling few words, so you open it up. It's the same thing with this. We're in trouble. We're dying. We need your help by 2 p.m. today. It's all about opening up the email, reading it, and sending money.
I beg to differ with the comparison to street mail. With street mail, you know it is a package that, barring the odd anthrax attack, is not going to hurt you when you open it. When I see something that's purportedly from a lawmaker...
The only time something can hurt you is if you click on the link inside. That's when it hurts.
I still say it prompts more people. Something like that will prompt more people to say, I don't think this is who it says. I'm going to put this directly in my junk mailbox.
Well, you know, some people open it. Some people don't. You know, I don't open all that stuff because I get tons of it, too.
Yeah, sure.
You know, but...
Do you engage in this sort of thing when you do this sort of thing?
Of course. We all engage in this sort of thing when we do this sort of thing because this sort of thing works. I have to tell you.
Do you have any numbers to back up the fact that it works?
Come on. She's the pro. I taught her everything she knows.
Yeah, right. I win 80% of the time. How's that for a number?
All right, fine.
Okay, fine. Does that work for you?
The email address here is roundtable at WAMC.org. Put something dire in the subject heading when you write us. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Read this or
okay,
else.
We got two, okay? You want them?
Yeah, sure.
Okay,
go.
So we got from... So we got one from Gary. Panel, give the history of our intelligence community lying to us. How do we know what's true? Regards, and that's from Gary.
Well, how do we know what's true?
We do not. That's my point.
But
exactly.
In this information age, why is it more muddled now than ever before?
Because there's so much more coming out at us.
And we heard from one of the very few people who don't give money to this radio station because it's the right thing to do and because we're all in a community together, who says, when Alan stops being rude to Ray,
oh my gosh,
I'll start giving money.
You know, I think it's time
right,
that we...
We'll believe that.
Right. And I have a bridge I'd like to say.
Right, that. And there's another one.
I think it's time that we speak to this on the eve of the fund drive.
Okay, let's speak to it.
You and I sometimes have fun at each other's expense.
We do.
This has been going on
both
for
ways.
Decades.
Yes.
We're just having fun.
Well, she knows that. She's got to know that. She can't be, you know, loony. So
because I wouldn't take that if I thought you were serious.
This is just another, exactly. This is just another excuse for I'd give money except for. Those are the people who really do drive me crazy.
Yeah, but some people have said to me, do they really hate each other?
No, we don't. We love each other. It was at my wedding, in fact.
This is what makes good theater. This is what makes good radio. You know, you have to have a little bit of banter. Thankfully, we all have faces for radio so that nobody's really watching, you know.
I resent that.
I think Roseberry is looking very sharp today.
It's what comes out of our mouths, and it's what keeps people engaged. Yeah. And you guys love each other.
One of my proudest moments is that Alan doesn't usually stay long at weddings. He stayed an awful long time at Nicole and my wedding. Long time and had a good time. And
kept waiting for the next round of food to come out.
Yeah. Right. Oh, you see?
And you had that bluegrass music, didn't you? And everybody was stamping their feet.
I really don't do the bluegrass.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
All right. Roundtable at WAMC.org. We will take a break for news, and we'll be back with perhaps something with a little more substance.
Somewhere there's clarity, I'm sure.
Of course, it's Grace Kelly on the Roundtable. It's 9:37 on a Wednesday morning. Ray Graff here in for Joe Donahue. It's the Roundtable panel. Email address is roundtable at WAMC.org. Libby Post is here. Rosemary Armeo, Alan Shartok, and Alan, more in the mailbag, eh?
From Joel. I'm shocked. You guys sound like a bunch of Republicans. Your argument is for going after ISIS is the same exact argument President Bush made going after Al-Qaeda Iraq. That is why I'm truly independent. It doesn't matter who's in office, Republican or Democrat. It's not our place seeking out the next terror group or pushing our agenda. Worry about our borders. That's it. Love the show. From Joel.
Thank you. Libby, you want to respond?
Just wait until they come knocking on your door. That's all. And then you're going to say, where were we?
Okay, and Alice checks in and says, substance is good, Ray. Forget the in-group fluff. Thanks for trying to keep the roundtable on track. And that's from Alice.
You see, that's what I'm trying to do.
You mean playing inside baseball? Are we doing inside baseball?
No,
the outsider wrote the email.
Bill says, keep challenging Rosemary to provide suggested solutions. She reminds me of the Republicans. Boy, this is a theme here.
Okay.
Who only offer criticism, but if you ask for a better idea, they have nothing to offer. And then from Luca in Woodstock, dear folks, for once, I agree with Ray.
What do you mean, for once?
That's what he said, for once. I'm just reading it. Right. I don't make them up.
All right.
Not usually.
About what, though?
For once, I agree with Ray. I get these emails from many Democratic fundraisers and instantly delete them. To me, a header should be interesting and not aimed to raise panic. I will not be manipulated, even from a group I agree with. And Michael says, he just checked in.
All right.
We're going to have to live with the risk of lone wolf attacks if we want our freedoms, which depend upon what I agree with, which is that it is a tremendous overwhelming majority of people are good and would never want, let alone carry out such attacks. On the other side, though, even if only 1 in 10 million people wanted to do that, that still leaves 30 million people running around this country ready to blow up a city, and that's from Michael. And Rachel says, we have strict airport security and police presence at big crowd events, especially since the Boston bombings, but everything else has virtually no security. If you take Amtrak train, no one checks your bags, and no one notices if you were to get off the train and leave the bags behind. Same thing in large hotels. Is the NSA catching all the plots we have never heard about? People who know something of security sometimes tell us, but if not, why are there not more incidents? And that's from Rachel. I just want to say one thing.
Yeah.
One day we were on the Metro North, and we had bags coming back from Europe, and I put the bags in that little area where there's nothing. And don't you know, the conductor came and said, whose bags are these? You know, in other
Checking.
Words,
yeah.
They're watching.
Sure. You know, there's that much maligned phrase, if you see something, say something.
Yeah.
Which is not a bad idea, but at what point does seeing things and saying things become some sort of mental prison and societal prison?
Well, you're right, but what are you going to do? I mean,
right.
What are you going to do?
Well, what we're going to do is move on. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
And I do have some suggestions, by the way. I'm going to present them.
Are you?
Yeah. I'm not like
anything randomly, or shall we just do a topic?
No, I think she should make a paper. Do a paper.
I'm going to do a white paper and present
right,
it.
And present her findings. The executive summary.
All right, well, that'll be hour two tomorrow.
Sure. Okay, all right? That sounds good.
Have your students do it. It'll be fine. All right, let's change gears here. The World Health Organization says a vaccine might be available in large enough quantities by the end of the year to help control West Africa's Ebola outbreak. There's currently no licensed treatment or vaccine for Ebola, although scientists are testing two vaccines. It is believed to have sickened 5,800... The illness, Ebola, is believed to have sickened, not the vaccine, 5,800 people in five West African countries. And there was a chilling, and I don't use that term very often, news item. Ebola cases could reach 1.4 million within 4 months, CDC estimates. And that's enormous. Because at what point are we talking about an exponential explosion of this? And then at what point does one case, two, three, five, ten hit this country? And that's when it all hits the fan.
The deaths now, the actual deaths, not anything that came out of a computer model, are approaching 9/11 deaths, which was a cataclysmic event in the United States. And you can go days without hearing about Ebola. It is in Africa. We simply don't care about that part of the world. If this were happening in Europe or Australia even, you know, it would be astounding. Mm-hmm. This is so scary.
But I think the country, the government, U.S. government does care. It's the public, and I will include all of us in that, have a tough time relating to something so far away, on a continent so far away.
It's the same thing with ISIS. We have a very hard time relating to this thing so far away, so why are we going to fight there? You know, there's a threat to us, but it's not immediate. Ebola is a threat to us. It might not be immediate, but we're talking about humanity. We're talking about the possibility between HIV and AIDS and Ebola on the African continent wiping out a vast swath of people. And, you know, where are the pharmaceutical companies? It's not profitable for them to go to Africa. It's because they can't make a profit there because the nations are poor.
Well, that's not fair. I mean, I'm not a big fan of big pharma, but there is no drug to send right now.
No, but the people who got it here, the people who came here, okay, they were all cured. So what is it
there
that
were three, versus 5,800.
I get that. But the thing is that let's bring some of those cutting edge responses to this.
I mean, here,
to Africa.
This is actually a disease that can be controlled with resources and with drugs that are in existence. It's the scope of it that is the problem. And the president is now sending 3,000 military people who are going to build hospitals, 100-bed hospitals, 17 of them in the area. That's fabulous. The truth, however, is that we are in crisis management. The president, we see it. We've been talking about it. Veers from one immediate crisis, take care of it right now, thing to another. We knew Ebola. It's been building since the 70s, maybe the 80s. It got really scary.
Yeah, but
and why
early.
Are these hospitals not right. built? Why isn't the aid already there? We have not, the infrastructure is not in
Well,
place
we haven't
to
seen
deal
an outbreak like this before.
No, no, that's right.
And there was no political
right,
will.
We didn't deal with that.
But one out of, I was listening to Beeb on the way in this morning, and they said something like, there's one doctor for 100,000 people.
Right.
One
right.
doctor
and those doctors are dying. Yeah. They're quite huge heroes. Mm-hmm. They've been taking care of people at enormous risk to themselves and dying.
But I
so the
go back
number's
to,
going down.
Yeah, but I want to go back to Libby's point, which I think is pretty good. We got those three people over here. We figured out what to do. You know, that's going to be the charge.
Mm-hmm.
The charge is when it looks like it's coming this way, is it gonna happen? And I think the answer to that is yes. We'll do it as we've done everything else.
Well, not everything else.
Well, look at AIDS,
yeah.
for example.
I mean, it took a while, but yes.
And it's finally. Only after the proper political, you know, sort of push.
Well, you know, when gay men were dying, it wasn't that big of a deal. But once straight people started dying, then it became much more of an issue.
I think wanna, this is different than AIDS, and it's. I know the political component here, but in America, you're not going to have people putting their hands on the body or burying
right.
them in the backyard. We don't have the culture that is spreading this disease that they do in West Africa. So it's more than just the drugs or the hospitals. It's a whole way of life and dying that has to be changed.
But
that's
how
hard
do you
to
change?
Do quick.
Yeah, how do
yeah.
you change
quick?
Completely?
That's hard to do.
Well, I think that. There will be a tipping point when everybody, I mean, listen, we're talking about it every day. Every media outlet talks about it every day. Still, there's a certain element of insulation that we feel. But there will
right.
be a certain point, whether it's 50,000 who are dead or whether it's 100,000 who are dead before the bells go off in everyone's head in this country.
You don't think the epidemiologists don't see it coming? Because I do.
Oh, I think they're quite
yeah,
aware.
I do. I do think
but the
CDC.
But the culture change issues that you're talking about, you can make the corollary to AIDS in Africa because folks there don't want to use condoms. They don't want to practice safe sex because for whatever reason, you know, and there's been a lot of education going on and things have sort of turned the corner a little bit. But again, it's the cultural.
Yeah, but
part
one
of
the
this.
Worst things was the team that went into that small town and got wiped out basically because people were so angry at them
right.
for telling them what to do.
Right. Right.
Yeah, and AIDS, their culture change is still going on. We had a lot of impact, and then the government in South Africa announces that AIDS is really a plot by Western government. So I mean, that puts you back so far. Or there's a view that if you drink the blood of a virgin child, which is virtually a baby, you'll be inured
yeah,
against the
right.
disease. So there's all kinds of things that have to be battled, belief systems, not just medicine.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually do think that the drug companies are maybe developing these drugs faster than they would have ordinarily. I don't
it's
know.
It's about how much, though, what the cost is going to be and whether or not they're going to make them available to poor countries.
Right.
That's the issue.
That's Libby Post, also joined today by Rosemary Armeo. Alan Shartok is here. Ray Graff in for Joe Donahue. Anything in the mailbag before we take a break, Uncle
well,
Alan?
Yes. There is Michael checks in and says, Rosemary reminds me of my wife while I'm driving.
Wow, Rosemary, you are taking
I'm
shots.
I'm taking some
you know
abuse
what?
Today. I think I'm going to just shut up.
I ask her, do you want to drive or criticize? Well, my wife says the same thing about me.
I want to be president.
Okay.
Okay, will you vote for me?
Okay. All right. And then there's
I
somebody
think you'd be
who
a better
checks
pope.
In from time to time. And then the other stuff, is sort of, you know, off topic.
Okay.
So let's
well,
not do it.
You know what? Let's go off topic here for a moment. We'll take a break and we'll be back. And then the lightning round, the big soda companies are pulling an Allen. I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Support for WAMC comes from Boyden & Perrin, Amherst, Massachusetts, offering lawn and garden equipment, parts, and service to customers throughout western Massachusetts, a family-owned business for over 50 years. BoydenandPerrin.com. Mr. Rooter Plumbing, working to fix slow-draining sinks, laundry lines, repairing and replacing kitchen and bathroom faucets, high-efficiency water heaters, septic systems, and more. TheHudsonValley.MrRooter.com. HMT at the Spa Little Theater, presenting the musical The Addams Family, weekends October 10th through October 26th at the Spa Little Theater, Saratoga Spa State Park, homemadetheater.org. And Albany Marriott, with 359 guest rooms, special event and meeting space with internet access, the Market Restaurant and Martini Lounge, and airport transportation, Facebook, Twitter, or albanymarriott.com.
Just wait on through some times we're getting used to.
Welcome back to the Roundtable on WAMC. 10 minutes before 10 o'clock, and it's the Roundtable panel joined by Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, and also Megan Finnegan has walked in. And you know, Megan, there's a fun drive coming up.
You know way.
A couple of weeks.
Are you kidding?
Less than 2 weeks.
Oh my God, I'm so unprepared.
So we had this thing called the lockbox, and you put money in, and then it shortens the fun drive.
It is a wonderful thing.
Could you shed any light on that?
I can.
All right,
actually,
go ahead.
I was waiting till the last possible minute to come in because I was really hoping we'd break 200,000, but we're just at 199,309.
All right, let's put us over the top. That would be great.
Gretchen was taking calls.
So we really do need everyone now. I mean, Megan, that's the whole point. We're not going to make this. We're going to lose $30,000.
Now explain that. Okay. What do you mean by that?
The Lennox Foundation put a challenge grant, what we call a challenge grant, on the table to help us do our control room over, but only if we can, only if we have this, make this humongous amount of $200,000. Okay, so
three, right?
No, two, because there was already $100 in there.
So we needed
the other two. And then our friend Alan Sagner comes along and he says, "Here's another $5," and he means it. I know this guy. He says, "Oh, there's another $5, but only if you make the 25."
So this is before the beginning of the fund drive?
That's right.
Okay.
So now there's 30. Thank you, Ray.
Yeah.
There's 30 sitting on that table, and I'm desperate to, because, you know, it is so important to keep this thing going. As everybody tells me when they see me on the street, I swear to you, folks, they say, "You know, Alan, thanks for everything. Thanks for keeping the station alive. Thanks for WAMC. It's the best in the country." I hear it over and over again, and I believe it. And so when I hear from them, carping critical person, you know, I'll give you
nattering
money
when
you know you're not on anymore, that kind of stuff. That's nonsense.
All right,
so we're doing good, but everybody's got to get to a phone right now. Stop chopping the carrots and go to the phone.
What about the website? You can do it online, right?
Get, a lot of people are getting that personalized mug and they go online.
Oh, tell us about the personalized mug.
We can have anything put on it within 15 characters. So your name, your spouse's name, anything you want within 15 characters.
You can take a shot at Rosemary and put it on a mug. Be nice. All right, you done?
I think so. Are you done with
that's
me?
Megan Finnegan, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey,
thank you.
Megan, thank you.
WAMC.org is the website. The Lockbox Challenge continues until the moment the fun drive begins. And we hope that you are, A, with us for the fun drive, and, B, put something in the lockbox and get us there.
You know, what this means is a 10% bump.
Beg your pardon?
It's a 10% bump. If you raise $300,000, you're going to get 10% more from your donors.
Oh, I see. It's already 30 large.
30 large.
It's huge.
Right.
And by the way, Rosemary, here's some good news from Marjorie. My husband and I love your point of view, but most of all, we love your passion. Passion is too often stifled in media. So what if sometimes it makes us say things we wouldn't have after reflection? Keep it up.
Can I have a copy of that, please?
Yeah,
sure.
You know, my wife's a huge Rosemary fan as well.
Send it right to
me.
Me,
not so much, but Rosemary, she's all over that.
What do you mean?
No, I'll go home. My mother
that.
Will tell me the truth. She'll say, "Well, is anybody else going to tell you this?" And I go, "Yeah, actually, a whole bunch of letters."
All right, listen, we only have 6 or 7 minutes here, and I want to bring this up because the soda makers are just right in Alan's wheelhouse today. This is from the New York Times. Big soda makers agree on effort to cut Americans' drink calories. Three largest soda companies, Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and Dr. Pepper Snapple Group, have pledged to cut the number of sugary drink calories that Americans consume by 1/5 in about a decade through a combination of marketing, distribution, and packaging. That commitment was made Tuesday at the 10th Annual Clinton Global Initiative. And this is huge, said President Clinton. What do you think?
How they're going to do it? They're going to lower the amount of soda in a can.
Right. And make you buy more cans.
And you'll buy more cans. Very good. And they will also lower the amount of sugar, apparently, in the drinks themselves.
They've already started with these smaller cans.
Yeah, I like the eight-ounce cans. Frankly, in my house, if we do it at all, we like smaller cans.
Well, they're the ones that they use those cans in the nursing homes because...
But let's not pretend we're altruistic here. If we're a soda company, you're making more money with a smaller can.
Yeah.
You look at the coffee cans from 2 years ago. They're 10% smaller than they were, and yet they cost
10% more
or more. So is this just sugar coating?
No.
Get it? Sugar coating, a marketing scheme.
But you know, a little for them, a little for mankind. You know, one small step for mankind.
Yeah.
But Mike Bloomberg gets a lot of credit for this because he really did have the guts to point this out. It didn't go anywhere. He wanted to limit the amount of the big bottles that we could buy and all the big drinks we could buy. But in fact, public consciousness and awareness is so important, and diabetes is catching up with us now.
The question is, what other chemicals are they going to put in to make it still taste sweet?
Yeah, well, see.
And what's going to happen then?
See, now sugar is, I saw one of the cans that says made with 100% pure sugar. Because I think, you know, some of the other stuff is now under such question that, you know, I'm under strict orders in my house not to drink diet stuff anymore because Roselle's gone to the web and seen some very scary things.
Yeah, I know. I don't know what I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Do you drink soda, Rosemary?
I don't drink soda. I don't have a dog in this fight. My poison is cheese doodles.
Cheese doodles?
Yeah.
They can't be good either.
No. That orange stuff on your finger.
Yeah, it's that glow that you have.
I got a feeling former President Clinton also likes cheese, although he didn't inhale. So I'm not sure. Maybe he doesn't like cheese doodles. I'm not sure. All right. Here's another one real quickly. Alan, for you.
Okay. Thank you.
This is from the Times Union. Robert Gavin. Sorry, Albany. FBI chief says capital corruption. Not special. Political corruption in Albany is apparently not ready for national exposure. In his first visit to the Federal Bureau of Investigation's Albany field office, FBI Director James B. Comey on Tuesday told reporters he doesn't think official misconduct is more prevalent in Albany than in other state houses.
Oh, my gosh.
I don't want to burst anyone's bubble or Albany's bubble in any way, he said, but there are lots of state capitals where we're doing lots of public corruption work. So it doesn't stand out in my mind.
By the way, I have always said that. You know, I mean, I think it's terrible what we've done, what some of these people get away with here. And I think it's endemic to the political profession that a particular skimmed group at the top will misbehave and be greedy and do stupid things. But when the Brennan Center in New York came out and said we had the most dysfunctional, you know, legislature in the country. I said, have you ever been to Louisiana? I mean, did you ever been in Florida? What's the matter with you people? So it's so easy to get a headline, but I agree with him. I think he's right.
But we're so sort of, we're sort of immune to it all because
and you know why?
We've come to expect it.
You ask your students. We ask our students to say, what do you think about the New York State legislature? What do your parents say? They're all a bunch of crooks.
Right.
You know, so, and we don't pay attention to them. You know, they're going to just steal anyway.
So corruption is the new normal.
I think the old normal.
It's the regular.
It's been.
I love it when I go to Eastern Europe and work on anti-corruption and people there say, well, you don't understand. You're from the United States. Like, what? We perfected
it.
Corruption.
We exported it.
We have made it legal.
Well, no, that's such a good point, Rosemary, that it isn't legal. In other words, it isn't illegal. So what happens is, somebody comes in and gives you $50,000 for a campaign, $100,000 for a campaign, and you say, as long as you don't say, okay, right. I'll do this bill if you do that, but it's understood.
Exactly.
That's what corruption
exactly.
is all
but they
about.
Also
exactly.
change the laws to make it so that people yes. can give them $50,000, $100,000, and then
yes.
it becomes
we have
legal.
Legalized
and then
it.
It's, we're legalizing that kind of corruption.
Companies don't pay taxes.
Right.
Legal.
And we call this the Incumbent Protection Plan.
That's
IPP.
Right. Absolutely.
All right, I have you all wound up now, and the show's over, so you'll have to carry this out into the hallway.
It'll be longer.
Thank you very much, Alan Shartok, Rosemary Armeo, and Libby Post. And once again, you may email us. Again, keep it brief. Keep the words 2-3 syllables, and Alan will have a good shot at reading them on the air in the morning.
That's a shot.
Possibly. Roundtable@wamc.org is the email address. Stand by. Hour 2 is on the way.